Financial Matters.
Obalwa Nonkenge is my guest this evening, business leader, teacher, and founder at Air Pokotweni Podcast. Obalwa, so good to speak to you this evening. Are you well?
I'm well. Thank you for having me again, bro. How
it is
are you?
So good. I'm good. I'm good. Just really looking forward to this conversation about tax. We are, I suppose, at tax season at the moment. People are running around getting the documents that they need to file whatever documents they need to file with the receiver of revenue.
It's the beginning of the 2025
right.
tax year.
Remember,
the tax year starts on 1 March every year.
Yes.
And it ends on the 28th of February. So we are now basically in the first Wednesday of the new tax year. And I know that because tax year sort of coincides with things like the budget speech, we don't often think of it as another opportunity to introspect and reflect. You know, we keep that to the New Year's resolution, but I think particularly where finances are concerned, it's an opportunity to see whether, if you are privileged, for example, to be in a job and you'll be getting a bonus, are you doing the most tax efficient thing at the start of the tax year so that you don't wake up towards the end of the tax year and be looking under the, you know, your pillows and everywhere for that tax savings. You could structure your investment affairs. You could structure, you know, we talk about side gigs, we talk about rental property, but it's always worthwhile to think about those and other ways of investing that might actually help you come the end of the tax year. And so I think early on in the tax year, when you've still got a full 12 months before the 2025 tax year ends, is an excellent opportunity to reassess, to re-educate yourself so that you make sure that your financial affairs are tax efficient in a legal manner, meaning we are not saying evade taxes.
Yes.
We are saying that in the Tax Act there are deductions that you may be allowed in the production of your income, but if you don't know about it, you might scramble at the end of the tax year. So this covers a whole range of things from retirement planning to maximizing your tax-free investments. But I also want to bring in things, Bra Aubrey, that we don't often think about, such as rewards. Mm-hmm. You know, if you bank, whichever bank in South Africa you bank with, just by doing your everyday banking and swiping, you could be missing out, if you're not doing it smartly, from an opportunity to convert those points and invest them, but not just invest them, but invest those funds in a tax-efficient manner as well. So those are some of the things I'm hoping we can exchange ideas on and chat about so that we can leave our listeners with some homework to take to their advisors to go read up on, so that within the year they plan and put their best foot forward in order to be more tax-efficient in the business or in their day-to-day lives of saving, investing, and building their net worth.
So we're not talking about tax evasion, folks. We're talking about the legal way of dealing with your finances in such a way that you are tax efficient. I think that is a very, very important piece of or a caveat that we need to put up right at the word go, Babalwa. Let me ask you about just from a general point of view. When we pay taxes, where is the tax man getting these taxes from? In other words, I earn a wage, I earn a salary. Right. And I'm told that at the end of the day, I get a net amount of money, meaning all sorts of deductions have been made. And some of that includes various taxes. Just give us a sense as to where from our wages taxes come from in the various ways by which people make an income. where do they come from, and what's the justification for this?
So I'm going to limit my answer to income tax, because as you know, there's also value-added tax and all sorts of other taxes.
Right.
But because you mentioned the word wages, there are tables that get published and that get announced at the budget statement to say these are the thresholds that people who earn X, they will fall into this tax bracket. So the employers have a duty to collect on behalf of the South African receiver of revenue services, whether they collect weekly or monthly. Now, I know some people work on a freelance or contractor basis. Just because those people don't get a pay slip does not exempt them from the duty of declaring the contracting or freelancing income. Those people also need to declare that, which is where there might be space for tax efficiencies, and we'll get to that a little bit later.
Yeah.
So that's contracting, that's freelancing, that's side gigs. But on things such as rental income as well, we have a duty to declare that to the receiver of revenue. Another source that's typical for individuals to pay tax on is dividend tax, which companies withhold that tax and collect, act as collecting agencies for the South African receiver of revenue. So that is, in a nutshell, some of the few ways in which individuals pay tax to the receiver. It's through collection, using employer as agencies, or self-declared. So Babalwa is an individual. If I have businesses or side gigs or rental income, I have a duty to declare income that I don't get paid from a pay slip to the receiver. Because just because I don't know doesn't absolve me from the duty, because ultimately every penny that you earn in South Africa is taxable. That's one of the ways that our government raises revenue.
So every single penny that you earn is taxable. How come we hear that there are certain people who don't pay tax because they are perhaps in a particular tax bracket? Is there any truth to that?
So, yes. So tax brackets have a minimum, so zero to a particular number. Sorry, I don't have the numbers in front of me. So anyone who falls below that, so you earn too little, in other words, for you to pay tax. Some people will say to me, so-and-so is super rich and they have arranged their affairs in such a way that they pay minimal tax. Now, it does not necessarily mean that that person is breaking the law. It just means that they either have a good tax practitioner or they understand the tax laws of the land and what costs that they incur in the production of their income are deductible from their taxable income. Now, you don't need to be super rich to do this, because if you put money away for the purposes of your retirement, if you put money away using what is called a tax-free savings account, those are some of the ways that we will get into tonight that I will describe, where our receiver of revenue services affords each and every one of us the opportunity to legally minimize the amount of tax that we pay simply because of the investment vehicle that we use. Now, there are many of this. So the discussion tonight, we don't have the time, unfortunately. It won't be extensive, but I do want to touch on a couple of these vehicles that are available to the ordinary man and woman on the street.
So, if I understand you correctly, regardless of whether or not you are employed as an employee at a particular company, or you are a business person who owns your own companies and therefore self-employed, or perhaps, let's say, employed by the companies that you've established yourself, there are ways, depending on how you structure the way that you earn money, there are ways of efficiently, I don't know what the right terminology is, but efficiently...
Well, being more efficient about your taxation.
The way that you pay your taxes, right? So I want to start first with the person who's employed, right? Let's talk about them and the possibilities of efficient tax payment there.
So a lot of folks that are employed have a deduction that the employer deducts on their payslip for either a contribution to a pension or a provident fund. Some employers will say, we have no such funds. Please go and find yourself an investment vehicle. A lot of people will go and approach a financial services provider. They will choose a retirement annuity. The South African Receiver of Revenue then says, great, you are contributing towards your retirement, meaning you are planning not to be a burden on SASSA. This applies whether you are employed permanently. It also applies to contractors and freelancers, people in the gig economy. So once you go and you get a retirement funding investment or a retirement annuity, you can contribute up to 27.5% of your taxable income with an annual limit of 350,000 rand per year, starting from the 1st of March every year until the 28th of February. So me and you, Bra Aubrey, whether we are both employed or one of us is a freelancer, we both can contribute up to 27.5%. So if you earn 100 rand, 27 rand 50, if that's your taxable income of every month, you are able, every South African is able to contribute that towards their retirement funding investment or a retirement annuity up to 350,000 rand. Now, that what will happen to those contributions is that they will, when they do your assessment at the end of the tax year, they will reduce the amount of tax that is due by you by the amount of that contribution. Like I said, 27.5% every year up to 350,000 rand. Whatever you contribute in excess will be reduced from the taxable income of the following year. That is one example.
Okay, so let me just understand that. So I have a retirement annuity investment account. I
yes.
pay in 27 rand, 27 rand of every 100 rand of my taxable income into that retirement annuity.
Correct.
How much of a tax saving am I making there based on this arrangement for retirement annuities? Where is the saving and how much is it?
So the simple answer is that at the end of the tax year, when you file, instead of calculating your tax on that 100 rand, it will be calculated on 100 rand minus 27 rand 50.
Ah.
So it, in other words, it reduces your taxable income.
Ah, so.
And that, whether you are freelancing, whether you are side gigging, whether you are employed, all of us have access to that as registered taxpayers up to 300. So it's 27.5% up to a maximum of 350,000 rand a year. So you can see that it covers people across all tax brackets.
So why is it capped at 350,000 rand? Because there may be some people who earn such a big salary that they're 27%, or the 27% contribution to their retirement
is more
than 350 rands. Why do they cap it?
So remember that our government needs to raise revenue, right?
Yes.
For things like building infrastructure and schools, but you also don't want to penalize the rich because they can leave the country. That is my layman's explanation.
Sure.
But if you do happen to contribute above the 350,000 rand, what the excess you will not get the benefit for in the current tax year, it will be rolled over into a following tax year. So you don't lose the benefit.
Right. So you don't lose that. So, for those of you who are like me or who are very slow when it comes to these numbers, this particular arrangement then makes sure that you are actually taxed on the shall we say, the 77 rands of your taxable income, even though you earned 100. But because you're putting away that 27 rands every month, that 27 rands allows you to be exempt from being taxed for the whole 100 rand.
Yes, you actually get taxed. You get taxed on the low amount. So the amount you contribute reduces your taxable income. So if we say that your taxable income is 100 rand,
yes,
and off that you contribute 27 rand 50 cents, it means that come calculation season, you will only get taxed for at 72 rand 50.
Understood. I didn't know that. Now I know that. Thank you, Babaula. I feel educated right now. I'm being absolutely sincere when I say that, because I hear tax stories. I've been working for all these years. I hear people got so much money back from it. I'm like, how do they do this? In fact, there's been a year when I've had to pay more money into, and I still don't understand how it works. So I get that. Let's talk about this person who's just sent me a message who says, "Hi, Aubrey, if I donate 50,000 rands to a poor school, can I deduct this from my annual tax assessment? Regards," and that's from Musuwe.
So the straightforward answer is yes, if the school is registered as a non-profit for tax purposes, because they must issue a certificate to you for you to be able to declare that you have donated money to the school. Just like with the retirement funding investment that we've just talked about now, whichever service provider that you go to will give you a certificate, because you can't just make up a number. They have to say to the receiver of revenue, "We have recorded contributions from Mr. Masango from this date until this date," so that they can see that it's within the tax year. Similar thing to donations as well. And donations tax is a whole other area. But the most important thing about the donation that the listener is talking about is that it must be made to a registered for public benefit institution that can issue a certificate showing. And, there are applicable limits there as well. There are limits, etc. But the most important thing that I would urge him to check is that the institution is registered.
You talked about a tax-free savings account and how that is. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So again, the South African government about 5 years ago, because they are trying to encourage us to save for the long term, they introduced tax-free savings accounts, which you can either get at your bank, at your insurer, at your asset manager, at your index tracking, all sorts of financial services providers, registered financial services providers, all give you the option to invest up to 36,000 rand per year, which you can contribute using 3,000 rand every month. Or if you are in a fortunate position, for example, I know there are sectors that are paying bonuses in the month of March, April, that you just set aside that lump sum.
Yeah.
Yes, because that amount, if you don't use the ability to invest up to 36,000 rand, it does not stay evergreen as the years pass. What do I mean by that? If you invest only 1,000 rand a month instead of 3,000 rand a month, then it's not like next year when they give you another opportunity to invest 3,000 rand a month, that because you didn't invest this year, you will sort of carry that over.
Yes.
The advantage here is that as the money grows with interest and dividend earnings in whatever underlying investment that you choose, the growth will not be taxed. The growth on your contribution. So say, for example, you go to your bank, your faithful bank of many years, and you ask them for a tax-free investment. They give you the account and they promise you X rate. Ordinarily, that interest would be taxed. In other words, it would be added to the tax that is due by you in addition to the tax that you're already paying via your payslip. But because of the fact that your investment now is in a tax-free savings account, that interest will not be added. So remember, we said in the first instance that the contribution to retirement annuities reduces your taxable income. Now the growth on a tax-free savings account does not get added to your taxable income, meaning that if you were that person that did your 27.5%, so you were taxed on the 72.50 rand, now you earn a further, say, 10 rands in interest, but through a tax-free savings account, you will not then get taxed on 82 rands. Your tax will remain at the 72 rands. Again, this is available whether you are employed via a payslip arrangement, a 9-to-5, a freelancing, a contracting. If you are a registered taxpayer in South Africa, you are able to do this. And I like our listeners to as I'm talking, go to the SARS website. You will see this information as it is. I think sometimes these things seem more complicated than they are because maybe finance or tax is not my forte, but I want to say let's also not be shy to pay a registered tax practitioner because then they have the ability to look holistically at your affairs. Now, what some people I think are unaware of or maybe not as alert to as they could be is this idea of rewards. Every bank in South Africa has a reward system. They call it different names. But also, like I said, every bank in South Africa does have these tax-free savings accounts. Now, imagine if you were just smarter about how you spend, you know, using your card, using your credit card, and you get up to a certain level of rewards, earning points. Find out from your bank, can I top up my investment account, my tax-free savings account, using or start a new one using the points that I have earned. In other words, your day-to-day spending not only gets you cheaper liters of petrol or a discount in the supermarket, but you can actually be smart enough to channel the accumulated points, convert them into rand, and start a tax-free savings account or top up an existing one. We just need to think more holistically and ask our bankers these questions.
How does the reward system of any bank facilitate tax efficiency in the sense that we're talking about today?
Remember, your bank gives you a check account. Typically, that's where your salary gets paid into. Now, some people will finance a car through that bank. Some people will have an overdraft or a credit card. Typically, the bank will say, if you shop at A, B, and C shop and put your petrol in at this garages and spend at this level, you will move through the levels, meaning that for everything you spend at those shops, you are able to get X rands back. So I'm not quoting any particular bank on purpose, but then ask the bank, instead of me buying myself an aeroplane ticket, instead of me buying myself fast food, give me the ability to convert those rands and let me put them into either an existing tax-free savings account or top up. So let me start an investment account or let me top up an existing one. I promise you there's no bank that will turn you away because you are using their product and you are basically they are promoting the behavior of redeeming and or utilizing their financial instrument for your benefit.
Right.
So let it benefit you by growing your net worth.
Right.
By investing, but bear in mind the tax efficiency in your investing.
Let's talk to Mahlatsi in Midrand. Good evening to you, Mahlatsi.
Hi, Aubrey. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for making the call. Yeah.
Thank you. Babala, my question is, you know, as you suggested that when I do get a lump sum of my bonus now in March, I put the 36,000, the maximum amount, into the tax-free savings account, right? And it earns maximum interest. So in the next year at the same period, when I'm supposed to take it out, because you have to do that, how would you suggest I invest it going forward? Because I'm thinking if I do invest it into government bonds or the not demand saving but the notice savings, it does get taxed at the end of the next financial year. So how would you suggest I invest the money when it's fully matured at the end of the 24-month period?
Remember, now is the 6th of March. So you, it's basically like a window that's open for the next 12 months, ending on the 28th of February. So where tax-free savings are concerned, the 1st of March is a reset back to zero. So when we ended the month of February, the window of the 36,000 rands for the 2024 tax year closed. So what I'm trying to say is now we are at the beginning. Make sure that by the time that window closes, you have maximized on tax-efficient investment. I'm not saying it's the only way to invest. I'm not saying that, you know, there are no other options, but just be aware that on the 1st of March, all of the tax efficiencies reset because it's the start of the tax year. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I do get that. I do get that. But I'm saying at the end of the 24-month period next year, when my 36,000, which I put in as a lump sum now, has fully matured and its maximum interest, right? I'm saying what other investment channels can you suggest that I could, I can't now put back the 36,000 with the interest because it's over the limit. So what other investment channels are as good that you can suggest?
So remember, and I hope I'm understanding you correctly, the 36,000 rands that you've put for this 12 months, it doesn't mean that now you must take it out just because the tax year has ended. It does not say withdraw it because the tax year, it does not say that at all. It will keep growing, and the undertaking of the government is that the growth, whether it is of a capital, dividend, or an interest nature, will not get taxed, which means that when I say it resets to zero, you can start another cycle of investing the 36,000 rand again. And remember, when you invest, you must basically sit down and draw up your goals because, you know, you must make sure that the investing that you do does not, for example, only provide for you in the event of an emergency, that, you know, you also think about diversifying. It's a big thing to diversify, that your money is not in one asset class. So take the start of the tax year as a reset to think around not only tax efficiencies, but your goals, but also your diversification overall strategy. Where are you overexposed? I always tell people, as South Africans, we earn our salaries in rands. We build houses in rands. Our pension funds are also in rands, whereas there are so many other opportunities to invest across the world. And I'm saying that tax-free savings accounts are also one of the vehicles you can use to gain exposure into markets beyond our borders as well.
Masatsi, thanks very much for that call. I think a very important call, Babalwa, because I think a lot of people might have been under the same impression that each reset year, in other words, each new 12-month phase in which you can put away that 3,000 rands a month, means that whatever you had in the kitty must now be removed in order to start a new. So whatever you've got in the kitty, so you could have been doing this for 5 years, the growth from that money that has been put away for 5 years will not be taxed.
The growth on every amount of money, because some people get overwhelmed with the 3,000 rand a month. If you can only afford 500 or 1,000 rand, the growth on whatever you put into a tax-free savings account will not get taxed.
But it is it is kept at 36,000 rands a year.
A tax year, not a calendar year, a tax year. A tax year. And if you calculate, everybody has a limit. So when they started this around 2015, that so if you calculate all these 36,000 rands, it will take you about 15 years to max out what you are allowed to invest via a tax-free savings account without getting taxed on the growth. So bear that in mind, that it doesn't vanish, but you've got X number of years. So people that are younger, this is especially for you, because if we wake up when we are 50, perhaps, you know, that 15 years, by the time it comes, we won't afford to put away the 3,000 rands every month. So what you need, if you are a younger person starting out in your first job, is to maximize your tax-efficient investing, your diversified saving and investment strategy while you are still young. The thing you need the most is time in the market.
A great gift for your child, I suppose. Yeah, I mean...
Excellent gift for your child.
Yeah. Let's talk to Piri and Alex. Hi, Piri.
Hi, good evening, Rob.
Yeah, go for it, Piri.
I think Rob, what I'm gathering from today.
Hello, Piri. We're losing you, brother. If you can just move around a little bit, you're breaking up, and we're losing what you're saying.
Rob.
Yep.
Can you hear me now, Rob?
Yes, I can. Go ahead, Piri.
Hello. I was just saying what I'm gathering from your guys here is that it is better to say than to spend now.
Yeah,
benefit that you can spend.
Your line is really bad, my brother. But I guess what you're saying, in essence, is that it's better to save than to spend at this point in time. Do you care to say why you say that?
Correct.
Quickly? Yeah.
I mean, because if you save all of your what you earn, all the expenses is your
All right, Piri, I'm going to ask Babalwa to use her intuition there to perhaps think about what you might be trying to say, but we're not getting a hold of a proper sort of understanding of what Piri is trying to say because of the line. And Babalwa, what do you think Piri is working at?
It is better to save, absolutely. Always better to save. We also understand that to make money, you spend money, meaning that the investment, the tax-efficient investment that we're talking about, that's a way of you trying to make your money work for you. So you must, I want to say, take money out of your pocket for the purposes of that investment, but make sure that among your consideration is tax efficiency. The other thing that I think people need the help of an accountant or a tax practitioner, for example, a lot of people like leasing out property, but do they know that expenses incurred in the production of that rental income are deductible? In other words, if you have an apartment, Bra Aubrey, you earn a salary. Mm-hmm. So in a straightforward world, the rent you get, you would just get that added onto what is due by you, right? Mm-hmm. But the South African receiver of revenue says, but Aubrey is spending on interest at the bank for this apartment which he uses to earn rental income. Mm-hmm. Aubrey is paying rates and taxes and an agent and a whole lot of other expenses in the production of this income. You may be a contractor or a freelancer as well, and there are expenses that you incur in earning, in that process we said of making money, you are spending money. That is recognized for tax purposes, and you are able, if you show records and declare in the proper manner which a tax practitioner can help you with, you know, you are able to declare not only the income, in other words, inviting the tax liability, you are also able to declare the expenses that you incurred in the production of either the rental income or the freelancing income, which does what for you at the end of the day? It reduces the amount of tax that will be calculated and become due by you, which means that inevitably you are being encouraged to declare correctly. And when you get that refund and you want to think, what can I do with it? Think about investing it for your own benefit in a well-diversified and in a tax-efficient manner.
Debo says, hi, Aubrey. Why is that we are encouraged to save for retirement, yet as retired people are taxed on those savings or investments, asks Debo?
So a retired person will get taxed on a taxable income of what they earn. For example, if they were working, typically what you will draw from your retirement savings is less than your salary. And also retired people may have other sources of income, which pushes them to a tax bracket where they attract tax. This is why in the beginning I said our listeners should not be shy to consult a tax practitioner, because there are always ways that someone who knows the tax, the Income Tax Act well, can assist you within the parameters of the Income Tax Act to reduce the amount of tax that you pay. And this is not just planning that you start doing post-retirement. This is planning that you start doing now.
So, as we close, my understanding of what we've been saying today is that all the expenses that you incur in the creation of wealth, whether it is a rental business or whatever business, but the expenses in the creation of a business, you can go back to the receiver and say, this is what I spent in order for me to create this business. Whether it's a rental, whether it is a spaza shop, but it would mean that you've got to declare that income so that you can apply or claim for the expenses that you've put away. Second,
declare the income as well as the expenses and keep those records, which is why it becomes important to work with a tax practitioner who is accredited by the South African Receiver of Revenue, because there is detail. All in the detail, but there is a way. Yes, I agree.
Of course. Secondly, you are saying that there are certain investment tools that are out there that you can put money away and earn a dividend. You can put money away for savings. You can put money away for your retirement. You can put money away for a rainy day. But there are certain instruments that the government has given us where the interest thereof, of those savings, will not be taxed because you are understood to be a prudent citizen that is not going to be too dependent on the welfare system of the country to look after you, and for that the government will give you a tax break of sorts.
Correct. Very correct. It's all on the website of the South African Receiver of Revenue. Listeners can check it out, but for your particular affairs to be assessed holistically, I encourage, don't be stingy. Go to that tax practitioner.
That felt like it was for me. Yeah, okay. So because, we don't see the value of using these professionals unless it's explained in the way that you've done it today. And thirdly, Babalwa, the other issue that you raise is that please be aware of the reward systems of your banks, the shops where you shop. There are certain rewards that come to you because you shop with those people, you use your services. They can be, if used in the right way, can be a great way of increasing your net worth, your ability to access certain goods and services without necessarily having to break your bank. And that is also a very, very efficient way of looking after your money, I suppose, over and above the tax conversation.
Absolutely. Let your banker work. Ask them, am I being smart with how I am using this bank's product? I need the ability to redeem the points when I convert them into rands for the purposes of either topping up an existing investment or opening up a new tax-efficient investment, which is what a tax-free savings account is.
Babalwa Nonkenga, how do we get a hold of you?
I'm on social media at epoko20, and for the Facebook, that's Twitter, that's Instagram, and for those that only use WhatsApp, we are on 072-650-7641.
You'll be back again?
Yeah, I'm always happy to be back again,
folks. Bobolo Nonkeng, business leader, teacher, and founder at Empoko 20.